Welcome to today's broadcast of Lead to Serve, a leadership podcast with Ed Taylor.
Hey, welcome again to the Lead to Serve podcast. We just launched season 4. The Lead to Serve podcast originates from here at Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado. My name is Ed Taylor. I'm the pastor here at Calvary. I've been here for 22 years. Marie and I and our three kids moved out from Southern California, believing that God wanted us to plant a church. And then God really humbled me and then brought me that he says, I don't need you to plant a church, but I sure let you be a part of one. And I'm like, oh, okay, you don't need me, but you want to use me. And I wonder how many of you just at the outset as we're, as we're starting this episode 2 that you're like, oh, I've had to learn that lesson too, that God doesn't need me, but he wants to use me, which is so encouraging. And on our podcast, we are talking about leadership, servanthood. Of course, remember the background of our podcast is pastoral ministry. We're pastors. That's our, although I did have a lot of time serving in the corporate world. So I do have some perspective from the corporate world, but we're just pastors talking about leadership, but more importantly, talking about servanthood, because here's the fundamental truth. Jesus said he came not to serve, not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And to me, that is the key to leadership. You will never know how to lead until you know how to serve, and you'll never really be a good servant until you know how to lead, especially lead yourself and learn how to discipline yourself. And that's the core essence. I have a passion of raising up pastors and leaders. I have a passion to talk through. I'm not a professional. I know some people would come on podcasts and they're just professional. I'm not a professional. We're just talking it out, thinking it through, learning from what we've experienced here in ministry. And we want to excel. We want to grow. We want to learn. And that's why in season 4, for as much as we can, we have Pastor Bob Claycamp in studio with us. Welcome again, Bob.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Great. A great first episode. And that's the pattern. We're going to free flow talk through as if you and I were in an office or a staff meeting or a pastor's meeting about different topics. And we covered a little bit of, I mean, probably just a sliver of post-pandemic considerations. We talked about basics and embracing change. But on this episode, episode 2, we really want to zero in on change because I think that is a big deal considering the time that we're in. And not just the old stereotypical, well, nobody likes change and all of the things, but let's just really dial down how it feels to face change, what kind of changes on a practical level in your role here, in your role with Poimen as you go to different churches, what you see. Maybe we could talk about just what has changed. But I think I would start fundamentally that we are definitely in a unprecedented time of change.
I agree.
Globally, politically, spiritually, in our country, in our churches, we're in an unprecedented time of change. And here's the thing that I felt. This is something that God revealed to me just at the outset. I love change. I always have, in many ways. Some things, I'm a creature of habit. But for the most part, especially leadership, I love change. I love risking. I love testing. I love change. And I would say that from the pulpit. I would say that to my friends. I would say that even today. I still love so many things about change. I don't like things staying stagnant. And even getting some feedback of people that have served with me for 22 years, they would say, oh, yeah, he loves change. He loved to try new things. And I say, yes. However, I learned a new nuance about how I love change. And this is something I've learned during the last two and a half years, is I love, and now I have to redefine it a little bit and say, I really love the changes that I initiate. That's really what I'm trying to describe. I really love the changes that I initiate, and I'm not a big fan, or I'm not so quick to embrace changes that are initiated upon me.
Right.
Is that a revelation to you, or you got that years ago?
No, it's just normal. I mean, because it's from us, you know, when we decide to do something fresh and new, you know, hey, that's a great idea, and we want to run with it because it's ours. But then we have just recently, I mean, when we have a political system that has a change every 4 years, every 2 years and all that, it, you know, there's constant change in that way, back and forth, back and forth. But as a believer, the Lord is walking and we're to follow him. And when the disciples were following Jesus, every day was different. Every day was, they had no idea what was going to happen. And sometimes they found themselves just in the middle of different, and they had to work with it. But it was always something surprising, something fresh, something they hadn't considered, and they were growing. That's how you grow, yeah. Is you don't stay in the same season. There's just season of growth. Changes are what God uses to conform us into the image of Christ, because whether you're in your family, whether you're in your workplace, whether you're in the ministry, change is always going to happen. Everything's only for a season. And to try to make things last long, sometimes you're fighting against the Holy Spirit, bringing you to places of freshness and newness, because life is what you want, not just static, I can count on what's going to happen every day.
Yeah, I think it added to a new sense of empathy into ministry, having, and really, I don't know that it necessarily started with the pandemic as much as it, I can go back 9 years ago when my son passed away and all of these changes were imposed upon me. There was no other response. There was nothing I could do to undo so many of the things that started when he collapsed and eventually passed away. And that opened up a new avenue, you know, with grief and brokenness and all that, but it opened up another avenue of what it feels like to have things imposed upon you. Because I think there's a principle with change that's important, and that as leaders, as servants of the Lord, especially those that are in a leadership position, almost always see change from the perspective of it, of instituting it and presenting it and communicating it to others, rather than responding to it, dealing with it. Like, because by the time I begin to communicate an upcoming change, at least one that we know about, let's say to the church or even to my wife, I've already thought it through. I've already processed it. Mm-hmm. I've anticipated. I've done everything that I'm inviting everyone else to participate in, but I've already processed it. Or at least to some degree, thought about it, thought ahead, what about, what if, gone through all these different scenarios. But when change is imposed upon you, you can't immediately process. You don't want to process it immediately. And on top of that, everybody processes it differently. And I think that when you are looking at the definition, right? The definition of change is to make someone or something different, to alter or to modify, to become different, to be altered. Certainly God does use these circumstances in our lives, like you said, to alter us, to be transformed is to be made different, to be changed daily, moment by moment. And one of the ways he does that is to change things around us.
Oh yeah. I mean, 2018, I had a heart attack and I had no risk factors. It was very difficult. And we were involved in a church, long-term pastoral transition. But the heart attack all of a sudden brought in a whole thing that I couldn't control. And I was so weak, never been that weak in my whole life. And it just made sense that now was the time to hasten the transition. And it wasn't what I had planned on. It wasn't my plan. And so to submit to that and to say, okay, what, Lord, what are you doing through it? And then I developed all these other plans and, okay, this is what we're going to do. And then right in the middle of that, the Holy Spirit began speaking to my heart through circumstances, saying it's time for you to move back to the States. And you're going, wait a minute, I'm not done yet. And it wasn't according to my plan. And so it was, those are the two latest major things that came upon me, not to mention the pandemic and all that issue. But I'm learning. I mean, I've been a believer for, 53 years, and yet I'm still learning that God wants to work through change and do things in me that are not multiple choice. They're just, my commander-in-chief says go, and this is what you got to do.
I think it is easy to settle down into these areas of comfort and ease. We love our predictability. We actually settle into a place of complacency that can even, lead to idleness, faithlessness. And there's a danger there. That's such a place of danger because that is a place where we no longer are growing or changing. And we redefine what a vibrant faith walk is with Jesus based on our comfort, our places of comfort and our places of ease. And I think the church at large, and I can speak for our church in particular, received a wake-up call in the last couple years as to the real vital conditions of our world. And it has been very divisive, and for good reason, in some cases for good reason, because I've seen a large segment of the church become very political. United States of America political. They're not really interested in Ethiopian politics. They're not really interested in South African politics or what's going on in the UK, but they have become very United States Western-centric political. And the danger that I've seen with that particular choice is now the gospel is enmeshed with policies from the United States government.
Yeah.
And the policies of the United States government are important to our context, but people are listening to this context, this podcast around the world. And they may be interested in our politics because it affects their country, but they don't immediately live under our politics. The person next to them that had a son that passed away, or the person next to them that doesn't have any money to put bread on the table, that they're the ones that are in need of the true gospel, loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself. And I really believe that the church received a wake-up call, but other things got awakened, and I'm not entirely sure how it's all going to go down. And that was a big point of division here, because I didn't become political. And let's just be clear, if anyone ever asked, I've never been political. I have never, in all of the cycles of politics, all the different presidents, all the different recessions, all in my adulthood, I've never believed that the gospel was to be enmeshed with a political message, that I believe our politics should be informed by the gospel, but that I have a singular job, God said. I'm to teach the Bible and equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That's my singular job. And so I haven't gotten any candidates. I haven't over the years. And I guess I've made people mad all throughout the years, because there are folks that do equate the church with some political narrative or with some cause. And I don't know. And again, that people are listening, they're probably, sometimes I'm listening to a podcast and I'm yelling at the radio. No, I don't agree with that. So you could be yelling at your radio right now, or you're on your walk. And that's fine. That means it's really stirring you up to learn how to apply this topic to the context of where you're at. You know, whether you're at home with the kids, you're pastoring a church, you're a supervisor at work, whatever it might be. I just want you to know that when God wakes you up, he's waking you up to himself. He's waking you up to leave comfort and ease. He's waking you up back to that new believer. He's waking the church up in Ephesus. You guys have left your first love. And then you see, well, what is my first love? Well, my first love was, Jesus, you saved me. You rescued me. You pulled me out of the pit. You washed me of my sins. You rescued my family. That's my first love is Jesus Christ. And anything else I get involved in, anything else has to be secondary, but also informed by the gospel. It has to be pressed by the gospel. And I'm just so concerned, but that's a separate discussion again, perhaps for a later day. But while we're in comfort and ease, you just hear the Lord saying, come and follow me. Come and follow me. Why aren't you following me?
Yeah.
Come and ask me. You have an issue in the church? Come ask me. Pray. Where are your prayer meetings? Where are the people praying? Where are the people responding with love? And, Pastor Chuck Smith, he taught us, and that's the foundation of both our ministries, but he taught us that the way to discover God's will is the same today as it always has been. Abraham learned it. Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, Rahab, Miriam, they all discovered God's will the same way, to take a venture of faith.
That's right.
So there's an aspect now that change. Sometimes we take a venture of faith because we want to. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we now take, now we're learning, we take a venture of faith because we have to.
Right.
Kind of like your heart attack, rearrange your whole life in an instant. And then you began to think, okay, I think it's time to go home. Jeannie, what do you think? Well, let's pray about it. Maybe it is time. But I don't want to go back to the States. I want to be here. This is where God called us. And you know, I like my little garden and I like my little home, but more importantly, I love my church and I love the college students. I love this ministry. I could do this until the rapture. Mm-hmm. And then God's saying, you could do this to the rapture, but I don't want you to do it to the rapture. I don't want you. It's like God's voice through this heart attack began a process with these words, Bob, I don't want you to stay in the same place.
That's right. And it has to do with growth. It has to do with the fact that God never wants you to stop growing. And he knows that for you to grow, you have to be put into situations that are going to be bigger than you, that are going to be outside of your control. So you have to depend upon him because it has to be a work of the Holy Spirit and not just, this is what I've decided to do. Walking by faith always includes risk. There's that element of risk always in walking by faith. You can have a reasonable faith. It all makes sense. It's all based upon sound foundational truths. But there is that step of I don't know, where I don't know what's going to happen when I take that step. I don't know what I'm going to be facing after I've taken that step. It's the land of I don't know. I mean, that's part of the Christian life. And that's, you know, in a funny way, that's what makes it adventurous. You know, I've come to give you life and that more abundantly. God wants to give you that sense of purpose, but that sense of purpose comes in him, not just in what we do, but it's in seeing what he does with what happens. And, you know, I'm constantly amazed by God using me in the midst of all of this stuff that's happening in the world. That is just, and I think the key is keep it simple. You and Jesus, what's Jesus requiring of you today? Is it a performance-based or is it grace-based? Grace is, hey, I'm just glad you're with me. I want you to learn from me. You know, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And so come, take, and learn are that constant word of the Lord Jesus until we see him face to face.
You know, back to that word risk, I was listening to a Bible study from John Wimber. He was talking about this aspect of taking a step of faith, and he said something like, when God brings you to a new level of faith and to take a step of faith, at that step of faith, you lose everything you've accumulated up to that point and start new. And I think, and it adds a whole new way of thinking about taking steps of faith, because here's what we want to protect: our comfort and ease. We want to protect what we have, which is what we were talking about a little bit in our last episode, where why to go back to normal? Because that's what I like. That's what I'm comfortable with. That's what I felt like was God was using, or, you know, this was just a minor interruption. And again, if you would define it in any other way than the sovereign hand of God, then, well, you know, the shutdowns are from the government. Yeah, God's sovereign. And this stuff, vaccine mandates, it's from, yeah, but God's sovereign. And read your Bible. Look at all of how God has used the decisions, even the bad, wicked, evil decisions of man to accomplish his will. You know, you think of poor little pregnant Mary. Oh, you need to go, it's time to be a census. No exceptions. No exception. I don't care if you're fully ready to give birth. Get on that donkey and travel the hundreds of miles, and I just so you can click and get counted, because I just want to count everybody. I mean, you could say, oh, what are we going to do, honey? How are we going to do this? I don't know. Well, we're going to protest, and we're just going to tell them all the you should have an exception for pregnant ladies. Well, no, God used that decision to get them in the exact right place to fulfill prophecy.
He is working so much behind the scenes, much more than we anticipate, much more than we expect, much more than we think is reasonable. It's I mean, there's a vast plan he's working, and it includes so many aspects, not just us. It's not just about us.
Right.
It's about all that he's looking to do through us, around us, for the sake of somebody else. Maybe he used you to impact somebody else in the midst of it, and that was the main lesson. He has a right to do what he wants to with us.
Yeah, I think that we start that way as new believers because our lives can be so messed up. We're like, okay, take authority in my life. But then we coast along a little bit, learn a little bit of the Bible, and we'll go, I can take that back, or I can control that, and I'm not that bad, and I wasn't that bad, and I earned. And it's subtle. It may not be standing up and saying it out loud, but it's that inside voice to say, well, it's me and God, instead of, no, it's just God. That's it. Your role in it is to abide and enjoy and obey and submit. Your role isn't to dictate, to hold back, to disobey, to resist. I mean, I think the greatest pain will come in our lives when it comes to change, when we take the posture and position of resisting it.
Oh, yes.
Instead of embracing it.
Yes.
And I'm sure that you could still be in Exeter right now. And I'm sure that God could still use you there right now. And I'm sure that you could be healthy and in that little apartment that you guys were renting with the beautiful little garden in the back and the wonderful church around the corner and the downtown area and the college and everything that was going well there. But we can look back and say, again, with hindsight, you could still be there, but it's not where God would want you.
Well, his definition of life is different than our definition. And his goal is to provide abundant life. And that sense of purpose, that sense of vision, that sense of fulfillment is all wrapped up in his definition of life. And for him to bring that about, he has to disrupt our life to bring about his life.
Yeah. As we wind down, just thinking about where you are listening, I know that just hearing other people talk about how hard it is to embrace change, or maybe God is wanting you to hear from me today that you have been maybe championing change in a way that isn't taking into account how others have to adjust to your changes. Like, you're a leader, you need to give those changes. And so you're just like, well, just get along with the program. Just get along with the program. This is it. I'm the leader. Follow me. And maybe now I'm exaggerating to some degree, but I know that from a leadership perspective, it can be frustrating when people don't like change, complain about change. But now that through the last couple of years, all these changes were imposed upon you and you can see how you responded, maybe the Lord is giving to you a more empathetic ear for the people that you're leading so that you can help them through the process. I mean, let's face it, change is the only thing that doesn't change is that things change. So we know that there's going to be growth in different aspects of ministry and life, and things be added, things are going to be subtracted. We know that. But maybe God, just this whole episode was for the sake of you understanding that these last couple of years, as hard as they've been, God has added something to your life. And maybe now you see, I love change. Yeah, but maybe what you mean is you love the changes you get to initiate and even control to some degree, but not necessarily respond to, because we've had a lot of changes imposed upon us, our families, our homes. I think that we're going through a lot of changes right now as we're recording this episode, and inflation's out of control and everything. There's empty shelves in the markets. There's everything that we're buying food-wise is through the roof, and it's affecting, that's imposed upon us. Gas prices are highest they've ever been in 30, 40 years, whatever that number is. These are imposed upon us. And I know that there are things that we don't control, but we can control how we respond, and we can control how we walk in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. And I think there's always those temptations to have our flesh provoked so that we're not living out the golden rule, do unto others as they would do unto you.
The picture that comes to mind is surfing. You know, when the waves come up, rather than getting beaten by it, you get on your board and you start paddling, and you use it. And so just asking the Lord when change comes to say, okay, how do you want me to navigate this? How do you want me to surf this? How do you want me to to use this, because he's always looking to work. He's always looking to use what's going on in our life if we'll come to him, if we'll ask him.
Yeah. Were you unhappy when you had to move from Exeter? Did you experience anger, unhappiness, frustration, anything like that?
Well, I had my eyes on what could happen if I stayed in my mind, and what good could come of it. But I've learned over the years that there's a sense of rightness when the Lord speaks to your heart, and the longer you fight, all of a sudden it turns into striving, and that striving is never of the Lord. And so there comes a point when you just yield to it and say, okay, I will do it. And then there's the peace of the Lord, even though you don't know what it looks like and you've got all these questions without answers. There's just that peace. And I know that one pastor, Pastor Damian Kyle, says, I've learned never to go against my peace.
Yeah.
Because every time I have, it's always been a disaster.
So back to the question, did you feel frustrated? Did you feel sad?
At first.
What was the, I mean, obviously you're recovering from a major surgery.
Well, so yeah. That was the death of a vision,
okay.
Right? But it was my vision. And the Lord brings us to those places where we have to die to our vision so that he can accomplish his vision. Because his desire is always a full blessing, not just partial.
Yeah. This brings us to the end of episode number 2 here on the Lead to Serve podcast. We are grateful that you chose to join us. We're in studio with Pastor Bob Claycamp. He has many, many, many years of ministry under his belt. And from his experience and what God has shown him, we get to talk things out and think through things. And I have a few years serving in ministry and what God has given to me. And we together are talking through some topics that are important, some topics that are really where we are in this new season of life. And we want to hear from you. So give us your feedback. You can do that on our, you can email me, ed@edtaylor.org. It has to be .org. Do not send to ed@edtaylor.com, because that guy is a professional Santa Claus, and we don't want to email. He's not going to answer anything about Jesus to you. But .org is my website. Also our church website, calvaryco.church. Bob was able to get the .com for his name, so his website is bobclaycamp.com. That's CLAYCAMP, just like it sounds. But you, calvaryco.church, you can get a hold of all of us here. And we would love to serve you. We're a resourcing church. Lead to Serve as a ministry of Calvary Church. So we're here to serve you. Bob's a part of a ministry we talked about already, Poimen, where a lot of his time is actually spent ministering to other churches, other pastors, and around the world. So God's really put him and his wife Jeannie in a wonderful place of ministry. Make sure you give us a good review. Give us all the stars that you're possible to give us wherever you listen to this podcast. And then just take the few seconds and post this on your social media. Put it up on your TikTok or your Instagram, or if you still do Twitter or Facebook, just share it. You'll be surprised how God uses those little posts to get the word out and gives a word in due season. So until next time, the Lord bless you, encourage you, and we'll be Maranatha, right? We're waiting for the coming of the Lord. But until then, we want to remain faithful.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Lead to Serve with Pastor Ed Taylor, a leadership podcast from Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado. If you have a leadership question you want to hear answered on a future Lead to Serve podcast, please email it to pastored@calvaryco.church. And if you like our podcast, please subscribe, rate, or review us on iTunes, and share us with your friends on social media. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time right here on the Lead to Serve podcast.